Hello and welcome to Light the Way with Dr. Colin Monger. He's the senior pastor of Shepherd of the Hills Church. At Light the Way, we believe the most powerful tool we possess when sharing our faith with others is the Word of God. It was the Apostle Paul that said, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ." So as we open the Word together, it's our prayer that you'll not only receive what God has for you, but share what you learn with those you come in contact with. And now, here's Pastor Colin.
The worst flight I was ever on was a one-hour trip from Denver, Colorado to Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I say it was the worst flight because it was awful, to be honest. And it was a surprise. It was a perfectly clear day. There were blue skies, not a cloud in sight. And by all accounts, this was completely unexpected. But as soon as we took off, we ran into the worst turbulence I have ever felt. And I'm not talking about a few bumps here and there. I'm talking about the kind of turbulence where the flight attendants never leave their seat. Where the captain comes over the PA and says, "I'm sorry, there's no drinks, there's no snacks on this flight for safety reasons." It was the kind of turbulence where passengers were reaching for their sick bags, and when the bumps would hit, you would actually come out of your seat just a little ways, and you realized very quickly why they kept telling you to keep your seatbelts fastened. It was the type of turbulence where at one point an overhead bin opened and a suitcase fell out, and at the end of all of it, the crew was apologizing, and the airline even offered vouchers for future travel. It was that kind of a flight. And yet I noticed that every single time the pilot came over the PA, he was calm and he was collect. And he kept saying, "Everything's going to be okay. You don't need to worry about a thing, just a little turbulence." And wouldn't you know, in the end, that plane never turned back. It never changed course. It never changed altitude. It just kept moving forward. And eventually things settled down and the air smoothed out and we landed safely and, believe it or not, on time, which is a feat even in calm weather. The point is this: life will be turbulent at times. Problems will arise, trials will come, tribulation will show up, turbulence will be there, and often it will come out of the clear blue sky. Maybe it came for you one time when you went to the mailbox and you found an envelope addressed to you and you never expected that kind of letter. Maybe it was a phone call and the person on the other end had a message you never wanted to hear. Or maybe it was a meeting with your boss that said, "I'm sorry, but the job is no longer needed," after a month of what you thought was great work. And now you wonder, how are you going to make ends meet? Turbulence will happen. Challenge in life will happen, and it will be a surprise. But when it does, not if it does, but when it does, remember that you have a pilot who's in control, and he sees what's coming. In Psalm chapter 37, it says, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord." And that means that your pilot is in control. And even though the ride may get bumpy, and even though you may find clouds, you will never be in that storm one moment longer than God intends. And you will never deal with anything he can't overcome. And with God at the helm of your life, you will land safely and where you should be and on time every time. I've called this message today, "Dare to Trust God," because I think we could all agree that our culture is a distrustful culture. Trust is a very hard thing for people to have. And let's face it, because we've all trusted somebody and had that trust trampled on. We've been disappointed. It was a promise that wasn't kept. "I'll be there," and then they weren't there. Or, "I've got your back," and then nobody showed up. We live in a world like that. And when those things happen, it can make it harder for us to trust again. I was reading a Gallup poll one time that showed the majority of people in America report having, quote, a significant level of distrust. And so when you dare to trust, when you dare to trust God in your life, you're breaking with that attitude of our culture. You're saying, no matter how bumpy this ride may get, no matter how dark that cloud may be or how rough the ride might be, I'm going to trust my pilot. That's a different attitude than the world would have. And yet that is the attitude we see in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in our story from today. Trusting in God despite the conditions of their life. And the very first thing we notice about their story is sometimes problems can seem impossible. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation that seemed impossible, but they find themselves in one. Notice what it says in verse 19 of chapter 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning, fiery furnace. The furnace Daniel's talking about is most likely a metallurgy furnace where metal would be taken in for smelting and forging and that kind of thing. And as such, some estimates have put the heat of that furnace, if it happened to be heated 7 times more than normal, between 4 and 8,000 degrees. Now, just to give you an idea of how hot even 4,000 degrees is, that's half the surface of the sun. And I point that out because over the years, there have been some who have said, well, you know what really happened was they were thrown into this furnace, but because they didn't really understand insulation at the time and because the technology wasn't what it is today, there were cool spots in the furnace. And so probably it didn't heat evenly. And these boys survived because they found some cold corner and they stood in that. And that's been the argument against the story. And so for the sake of argument, let's say they're right. Let's say Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found a spot that was, I don't know, half as hot as the rest of it, which would be a drastic difference, even in those times. Half of 4,000 degrees is still 2,000 degrees. You know what on Earth typically lives at 2,000 degrees? Lava. Lava is 2,000 degrees. I looked it up. And so even if they found a cold corner of this furnace, it was like being in the middle of the volcano. Add to that the fact that they're bound by ropes, that they're thrown into a furnace from above, that the fall would probably injure them. And as hot as this flame was in verse 22, it says that it killed the men who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to the door. Put all of those things together and we start to see how impossible this situation is. Do you ever feel like you're in an impossible situation? Like no matter what you're going to do, you're going to lose. It doesn't matter how hard you try. It doesn't matter what you try to think up or conjure. Nothing's going to work. You ever been there? We've all been there. Even the Apostle Paul dealt with that in his ministry when he said there was some hindrance in his ministry and he pleaded to God to remove it. And it says in 2 Corinthians 1, we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced. We were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. He said we felt that we had received the sentence of death. Every one of us has been in an impossible situation. And yet I would submit to you that it is those very impossible situations that cause us to grow in trust of the Lord. I've been working with a personal trainer at the gym for a little while now, and he's the kind of guy that loves to see you cry. He's just that kind of guy. He's always pushing you harder and farther with more weight and more reps than last time. I was at a point one time with him where I couldn't go anymore. And I remember being there in this machine going, John, I can't do another one, not another rep. And I was about to quit. I couldn't feel my legs anymore. And I couldn't hardly breathe. And he looked at me and I thought he was going to have mercy. And then he said, okay, 4 more like that. And then he looked at me and he said, keep going because the one that don't go is the one that makes you grow. And how true is that of life? You see, growth in anything cannot happen if all we ever do is repeat the same exercise and deal with the same challenge as last time. 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Are you facing something that seems impossible? Does it hurt? Are you at the point where you don't think you can go anymore and it's forcing you to trust God more than ever? Do you want to quit and God is saying, no, you can't quit. You've got to go a little more. I would submit to you that means you're growing. That means you're growing in grace and knowledge and trust of our Lord. And that's where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are, dealing with a situation that by all accounts seems impossible. Their hands are tied with rope. They're living under the sentence of death. They're in that position because they can't worship this golden image, and the king won't listen to that. They're about to be thrown into a furnace that's so hot and incinerated the guards around them. This is an impossible situation. But there's something else we notice in their story. Sometimes it's not just an impossible situation. Sometimes it feels like an unwinnable situation. Like no matter what you try, you can't get ahead. Notice what it says in verse 21. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. Have you ever prayed for help and it didn't come? You reached out to the Lord in your hour of need and help didn't come. You needed money and it didn't come. You needed a job and it didn't come. You prayed for healing and it didn't come and it didn't work, or maybe it even got worse. Have you ever been in a situation that no matter what you tried or how loudly you cried out to the Lord, you just couldn't win? The Apostle Paul dealt with that. He begged God to remove the thorn from his side, and God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Have you ever been in a situation like that, where we pray to God to remove the burden, and instead he says, no, I'm going to leave it? You know, I've always found it interesting how the very first thing we do as people when trouble arrives is we try and escape. And yet, more often than not, when we pray for deliverance, God sends endurance. He keeps us moving through the turbulence of life, through the problem, through the challenge. He brings us to the impossible situation that we can't fix, no matter how hard we try, all so we can learn to trust him more. Have you ever considered the possibility that your trial is not a punishment, but rather is the purpose? In James chapter 1, he says, you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. The only way you're going to grow in faith is if we test your boundaries. You know, I was reading this past week that the Cleveland Browns NFL team is arguably the worst team in all of football. And I'm not saying that critically, I'm saying that factually. They are the worst team, and here's why. In the 71 years the Cleveland Browns have been a franchise, they have not only never won a Super Bowl, they have never been to a Super Bowl. Less than half of their seasons in 71 years have resulted in them winning more games than they lost. And the last time that happened was 13 years ago. In fact, in 2017, they were the only NFL team to go without a single win the entire year. They are arguably the worst team out there. And yet the players and the staff and the fans, they keep going. It's an unwinnable team, and they stick with it. Imagine if believers had that kind of devotion when we came to an unwinnable situation. That says no matter what happens, no matter how bad the odds are, no matter how unwinnable this may be, I'm going to trust my pilot to get me through. Much like what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said back in verse 17, when they're threatened by Nebuchadnezzar with this furnace if they don't bow down before his image. And they say, if this be so, our God can deliver us. But in verse 18, they say, if he doesn't, we still won't serve your God. God has the power to save us from you, O king, but even if he chooses to let us face this trial, we're going to keep going. And so the situation might seem impossible. It may feel unwinnable. But I would say be patient because God could be working a miracle. Notice what it says in verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "But I see four men unbound, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods." You know, when I read that, the very first thing that jumps out at me is the only thing that fire burned were the ropes that bound them. As hot as those flames were, they didn't harm a hair on their head. In fact, it even says that later in verse 27, the hair of their heads were not singed, the cloaks were not harmed, and the smell of fire wasn't even on them. The only thing this trial destroyed was the very thing that kept the young men in bondage. And what an illustration for our lives. That God will let you face trials and he will let you face tribulation. And sometimes the fire might seem intense and beyond anything we can handle. And yet in the end, if you are willing to trust your pilot, the only thing burned will be the thing keeping you back. 1 Peter chapter 1 puts it this way. If you've been grieved by various trials, so that the testing of your faith, though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at Jesus Christ. I was reading one time about how when Japanese samurai sword makers start a new sword project, they'll start with chunks of metal in the rawest form they can find, and they'll put it on kind of a pallet of sorts, and they'll put that into the furnace, and they'll heat it up to red hot. And then they'll pull it out, and with hammers, they'll bang all of this metal together. They'll put it back into the furnace, they'll pull it out again, and they'll fold it over itself and over itself. And they'll go through this process over and over and over again. Sometimes for months on end, they'll do this. They'll work this metal, even before it takes the shape of a blade. And the reason being is they're removing the impurities that cause weakness in the sword. And likewise, God will remove the impurities that cause weakness in our faith. And James says, when that happens, let it have its effect that you might be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You see, sometimes the best way to remove things that get in the way is to burn it off, to put it through the fires of life. And so God may be working a miracle in your life through the act of purification. But if he is, keep your faith, because along with that will come divine protection. Notice in verse 25, it's there. He answered and said, "I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire. They are not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like what? A son of the gods." You know, there's an old saying that goes, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And while that often doesn't bring much comfort, there is truth in it. And David knew that truth when he said in Psalm 23, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you're with me." If God brings you to the furnace of some impossible situation, he will sustain you in the flames. And in that moment, you will do well to keep your focus on him and not the problem. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, "Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings to us so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus," he says, "the founder and perfecter of our faith." I love the word perfecter, because it implies a process. There is something we will go through to make our faith stronger. Notice how even in the midst of these flames of a 4,000-degree furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego focus on God. They're not looking at themselves. They're not looking at the flames. They're not looking at the people around them. They're not looking at the problems. They don't care about the opinions of the world. They're looking at God. And it says they're walking in the midst of the fire and they're not hurt. I remember being in high school, I worked at a restaurant with a lot of my friends. And so as you can imagine, not much work got done at that restaurant, but we were there. And my job was to carry glasses of water out to the tables, but I couldn't get it. I would always spill them. And I didn't understand how the waiters and waitresses could stack food on top of food and plates and cups. And they would do it all the time. And with me, it was just a few glasses of water I couldn't get. And they told me one day, the trick is you don't look at the water. Look at something beyond the water and keep moving in a smooth way, in a continuous motion. And how true is that of life? Don't stop and stare at the problem. Focus on something farther away. Focus on something higher. Don't look down, look up. Keep your focus on God and let Him worry about the thing focused on you. In Colossians chapter 3, it says, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. You remember in Matthew chapter 14, when Peter was walking on the water, he was in the boat and Jesus approached. And you remember how the story goes. And Peter says, Lord, if it's you and you want us to come to you, just say so. And he does. And so Peter jumps out of the boat and he starts walking to Jesus. And as long as he had his focus on the Lord, he was fine. As soon as his focus left Christ and went into his surroundings and he realized what he was doing, he fell like a rock. And so your situation may seem impossible. It may feel unwinnable. God may be working a miracle. And so be the example. Notice what it says in verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace. He declared, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not any power over the bodies of those men. The hair of their heads was not singed, their cloaks were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own. Therefore, I make a decree. Any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be torn limb from limb and their houses laid in ruins, for there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. How you face trials in life has the ability to affect other people. That's what happened here. How Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into the furnace and trusted the Lord not only changed the heart of the king, but the attitude toward God and the whole kingdom. How you deal with trials in your life has the ability to affect other people. You remember Stephen, he was the very first martyr of the church in the book of Acts. He was stoned to death for his faith. You remember as he was being stoned and they were actively throwing the rocks at him, moments before his death, his last words on earth in Acts chapter 7, it says, falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And then he died. Most people would not do that. Most people would never pray for the forgiveness of their persecutors as they take their dying breath, but Stephen did. He trusted his God that much that he prayed for the salvation of the people torturing him. And because of that very act of faith and trust in God, a young man by the name of Saul of Tarsus, who was standing by holding the coats, who was egging them on, the Bible tells us he was consenting to the whole thing. A persecutor of the church, a man who would become the church's worst enemy. Because of this act of Stephen, Saul's heart was softened. And only two chapters later, Jesus will meet Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. And in Acts chapter 9, the Lord goes to one of the apostles after this encounter with Saul and says, He is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name. Just a little while later, it says about that very incident that something like scales fell from his eyes. That's the power of the example that we set when we give our trust to God. That's the power of a witness lived in front of other people. And so be the example. Let me ask you a question. How does it look if a person who talks all about something and how great it is doesn't use it themselves? I'll give you an example. Steve Jobs, who founded Apple and made all of the products we have, you know, the iPad, the iPod, the iPhone, the iMac. My dad works on computers. He calls it iJunk, but it's all that stuff. Steve Jobs refused to let his children have an iPad because he recognized how addictive the technology would be. Vice President Al Gore is often criticized very heavily because not only does he go around preaching to the world about conserving the ozone layer and saving the planet, but he does it on a private jet. The man who invented Lunchables for kids' lunches when they're still in school would not let his grandchild eat them because they were so unhealthy. What does it say about a product when the person who makes it and sells it and talks about it won't use it? What does it say about faith when the person preaching it doesn't trust the very God they're telling others about? You see, you have the opportunity to show the world what faith can do, what trust in God can do, what a relationship with Jesus Christ can do. And so I dare you to trust God. I dare you to trust him when your situation is impossible. I dare you to trust him when it feels unwinnable. I dare you to trust that he's working a miracle. I dare you to be the example. I dare you to be different.
You've been listening to Light the Way with Dr. Colin Munger, the senior pastor of Shepherd of the Hills Church. If you'd like to hear this message again, stop by our website at lightthewayradio.org. Not only will you find an archive of Pastor Colin's teachings there to listen to, but there you can find out more about our ministry. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world," and we want everything we do and say to revolve around that. If you'd like to get behind what we're doing, please visit lightthewayradio.org and learn how you can become a light partner. When you do so today, we'll say thanks by sending you a free copy of Pastor Colin's book, Meet Jesus. In this book, you'll discover 7 miracles of Jesus and the 7 I Am statements he gave in the Gospel of John. All of it was done so we would have a better understanding of him as God. Again, to become a light partner or just receive more information, log on to lightthewayradio.org. Thank you for listening today, and come back next week as Dr. Colin Munger once again delivers another helpful message from God's Word to help us light the way. In the meantime, remember to be a light to someone this week.